You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hello, hello, it's Brooke Devard, and you are listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. You hear the song, you already know what time it is. This is the mother, daughter, grandmother episode. I'm so excited about this. We have got three generations of Devard women on the same podcast. It is no wonder that I am the way that I am after speaking to my mom and grandma. They both have style and beauty and spades. And they just told me such great stories. I heard how they grew up. My mom grew up in the 70s, disco era, Studio 54. My grandma was a teenager in the 40s. That's Dorothy Dandridge and Lena Horne. A totally different sensibility, but they both have amazing personal style, amazing stories. And I actually learned a lot on this episode. My grandma is so funny. She's a self-described senior teenager. And of course, my mom has an amazing sense of style and a really unique approach to beauty. I had so much fun. It was an honor, honestly. An honor and privilege to talk to them. This is the first time I've had family on my podcast. Mom, I know you've listened to some episodes.
I've listened to all of them. I am so excited to be a guest. Aren't we excited, Mom?
I'm just delighted.
So I really wanted to talk to both of you because as I've talked to women about their self-image and beauty routines, mothers come up a lot. So I want to talk to you guys about your own experiences and then your experiences with your mothers. You guys are, I guess, what, three generations apart? Or three decades apart in terms of when you were growing up as teenagers. So, Grandma, you were...
I grew up in the late 40s.
Okay.
Late 40s, early 50s.
Okay.
Really.
And so when you were a teen, where were you living at that time?
In Florida, in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Mom, what about you?
I grew up as a teenager. Where was I, Mom, as a teenager? In Connecticut, right?
Connecticut, then...
And Atlanta, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was the 70s?
Yeah, because I was born in New York. Mom will tell you, Grandma will tell you the story. I was born in New York, but then she decided to go back to school. So yeah, late 70s, yeah.
Okay. So in your respective times, so for you in the 40s, who were the style and beauty icons of that time?
I can't remember any one that I really looked up to except my teachers in high school. They, to me, were very, very attractive women. Mm-hmm. I had only two male teachers that I can remember.
Okay.
One taught Spanish, and the other one was, I think, a math teacher. But otherwise, I had women. I was extremely impressed with the way they dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were dressed every day.
Like very put together.
Yes. They had gloves. They all drove cars.
Yeah. Did they wear hats?
Really wear hats, but wore makeup, lipstick. I don't know about anything else because I wasn't into really dealing with makeup, but I do remember lipstick. Mm-hmm. And they were all just very attractive to me.
Mm-hmm. And I've watched
movies from that era. Was Lena Horne around 40s?
She was extremely attractive. Beautiful. I tell you, in the 50s, who I was really attracted to was Dorothy Dandridge.
Oh, yeah.
I was extremely attracted to her. I loved her hair. I even tried to... In fact, I have a picture of my hair.
Yes, I think I know the picture you're talking about.
I have a picture. And I love the way her eyebrows were shaped.
Yeah, that perfect arch.
Yes. And that's the first I can remember of someone that I really paid attention to their makeup and how they really looked.
She was in Carmen, wasn't she?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And she was also a great actress and singer and dancer. So kind of like the Beyonce of her time.
I think so.
And Mom, what about you in the 70s? Did you have...
Yeah, no. So when it was the era of makeup. Makeup was king. Yes. That was when you wore hundreds of... You had contour, which has made a comeback, but you had like 5 shades of eyeshadow. You lined the top and the bottom. It was frosted eyelids. I mean, it was just over the top. But I think of people like In Vogue and Salt-N-Pepa and Diana Ross it was like makeup. It was Studio 54. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone was really trying to shine through their makeup.
Yeah, and that was also the disco era, right?
It was disco. It was very much disco.
So you kind of had to be over the top to make a statement.
It was over the top. It was like you couldn't see the person for all the makeup.
Right. And so in terms of who you looked up to for beauty and style, was it those women? Were you influenced by them?
No, it was my mother. I mean, I always looked up to your grandmother. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was the most stylish, put-together woman I ever knew. And she always talks about the fact that at first I rebelled against it because I wasn't really interested in it. But grandma was always just so well put together, always had a tremendous sense of style.
Yeah, I can attest to that. So when you were young, who taught each of you about beauty and makeup and how to do your hair? Because I had you, girls now have YouTube, magazines. Growing up, were there resources, especially for black girls, to understand how to put yourself together? Did you learn from family?
For me, it was family. Mm-hmm. I cannot remember any magazines that I looked. I can't remember that.
So it was mostly other female family members teaching you.
It was teachers. It was church members. I remember two women in particular, and I can remember her name, Miss Mitchell, that was extremely elegant. And Miss Hall. And every Sunday, I would wait to see what they were wearing. I mean, they were really, really very, very elegant, always. Mm-hmm. And they did not work. They were housewives.
Okay.
But they prepared all week for Sunday.
just to make their appearance
on Sunday. To make their appearance and walk in late in church. Every Sunday.
Oh, they walked in late intentionally so everyone could see them?
I think.
That's funny.
Fashionably late.
Yes, fashionably late.
And what about you, Mom? Who did you learn from?
Well, you know, for me, I mean, I know women now. Every black girl I knew growing up knew how to do her hair. She could slap perm in her hair. She could roller set it. I mean, everybody knew how to do their hair because it wasn't a thing that you went and got it done. And so you would stop, you know, hype hair. There was a series, there was a franchise of hair care companies called Black Hair Is when I got older.
I've never heard of it.
You wouldn't have heard of it because it was the first franchise black hair care company because they wanted to take a brand and make it national. It didn't survive, but everybody kind of knew how to do their hair, and I think that you would see a hairstyle and you just went home and tried it. Ask somebody to show it to you.
That's interesting. So growing up, what were the expectations around hair and makeup and how you presented yourself? Because I know I can remember being 7 or 8 and I really wanted those high heel jelly shoes. And I think you were kind of on the fence about it, but I remember a conversation about them being too grown and you're...
Well, you had the Barbie doll high heels that you could wear at home, but not
going
outside.
Yes.
No, that wasn't happening. No.
And I definitely wasn't, you know, able to wear makeup until I was older. So did you guys have similar expectations in your household around what was appropriate in terms of hair and makeup?
Oh, yeah. No, there was very much a sense of being a child and looking like a child. You just didn't you didn't, I didn't go out of the house as a child with makeup on.
Were you allowed to experiment with your look? Would grandma allow you to experiment?
She would have allowed me, but I wasn't really interested. Yeah, I was a tomboy.
You were a tomboy?
Okay. She never, in fact, we laugh now about Jerry because she was not, she's extremely fashionable now, but in high school, she was not fashionable.
I was an athlete.
Yeah, an athlete, but I tried to dress her fancy and buy her she never wanted anything. She would go shopping with me, wanted nothing.
Wow.
She was not fashionable at all.
So what changed?
I think just an appreciation of watching my mother looking so good and so pretty, and I didn't want it forced upon me, and I felt, you know, when I go shopping, it's like I had to, I just wasn't interested. It wasn't something that I had any interest in. So it had to develop naturally, organically, for me to really want it.
Okay. So thinking ahead to when you guys were in your dating years, when you were going out on dates, what was kind of the ideal look to go out on a date with a guy that you were seeing?
Well, I want to say something here, because when I got to college, it was kind of like, so you grew up in the, I went to college in the late 70s, early 80s, and I cut all my hair off. I cut all my hair off, and I wore very...
I've seen pictures, but it looked amazing.
A teeny weeny...
TWA.
TWA.
Teeny weeny afro, yeah.
And I was very confident that I was going to cut my hair, and that's what the way I wanted to look. So I wasn't interested in kind of wearing my hair down my back or whatever for a guy. So my whole thing when I got to college, and of course you have to remember I was 5'10".
Yeah.
And in high school I kind of wore maybe flats, and grandma said, no, why are you trying to make yourself small? You're tall.
That's
embrace
good
it.
Advice.
So I wore heels. And when I was dating, though, in college when you dated, I was always overdressed. I mean,
okay.
I never dressed down in college. The jeans and t-shirt thing, never.
Never. Just to go to the store, I would ask her to pick up a package for me. It took her an hour to get dressed.
Oh my
because
gosh.
She said she'll never know who she meets along the way. So she was always immaculate.
You had to be prepared. Hey, I went to Spelman College. There's a lot of women. If you were going to compete, you had to bring your A game.
Yeah. So when you did go on, so if you did all of that just to go around the corner, if you were to go on a date with a guy, what would you have worn?
Well, it was the same thing because I think part of it was because I wore my hair so short and I was so tall, I had to make sure that all the other elements of my femininity came through.
I see.
So I was always prepared. I mean, you could pick me up from the grocery store or the classroom and I could go out on a date because I was already overdone.
Yeah. I've heard a saying that's like, always stay ready so you never have to get ready.
I was ready.
Yeah, okay.
Always ready.
And what about you, Grandma? What would be like an ideal date night look?
To go on a date, it was like Sunday dress.
Okay, so like a nice dress.
Yes. I came along where jeans were not in.
Right.
And pants were not in.
Right.
So I always had a dress.
Okay.
And I had what was called Sunday shoes, Sunday dress.
Okay.
And school clothes and school shoes.
Okay.
So when I went out on a date, I was Sunday dress. Had my best, whatever my best was, is what I had on.
Okay, so what you would wear for Saturday night, you would wear to church the next
morning.
And
I always had a nickel to make a telephone call, because that's what telephone calls were at that time. So my mother would say, always have a nickel and a handkerchief, always.
But grandmommy, so I'm talking to you now as my mother, but my grandmother, her mother, grandmommy dressed you guys impeccably.
Oh, yes.
I know. I've seen pictures.
But that, you have to think about the time when blacks were judged by the way they looked.
Right.
So
right.
You couldn't just roll into the store looking like you rolled out of bed.
Right.
You had to go, like you know, your grandmother said, with your Sunday best. But they always, that's the day when you would starch ribbon before you tied on your hair.
Yes.
The socks had lace on them.
Yes.
Your shoes were white, you know, very white if they were white. Patent leather was sparkling.
Yeah.
You know, the dresses were ironed with starch, with Argo starch.
In fact, today I had on, early this morning, I had on a pair of shoes and I said, wow, I didn't even clean those shoes. Yeah. Even now, you don't think about mm-hmm. polishing your shoes. But I grew up in an era where you polish your shoes wow. before you walk out. And I looked down at my shoes and I said, oh, even these I have on now, I should have taken a wet cloth and wiped them off.
They look fine. They look fine. You have on a pair of melon patent leather.
But I could have wiped them off.
Okay, all right. Grandmommy would be proud.
Do you think the... looking at the way women dress now in terms of those standards of what being put together is, do you feel they've dropped dramatically?
Personally, I think so. And I think, first of all, I do not like the bust showing. Mm-hmm. I don't like that style. And I don't like the style to see my butt hanging out under my dress.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have problems with that, but I tell you what, I'm on a committee in my sorority, and I thought they would hate me when I got up to talk about protocol, but they always ask me to talk to them mm-hmm. About dress and how, and I tell them how I feel about it, mm-hmm. you know, and I said, if you want to hear the truth, I'll give the truth. The dress is too tight. Too short, and you need to wear a different type bra because that's not the bra. I do not understand now not wearing Spanx because I grew up very thin,
yeah.
but I always wore what was called a girdle. All yeah. of my life I wore a girdle, yeah. and I was like,
but you're thin. Still very skinny.
You're
yeah.
still thin.
But, and I'm still thin, but I think women that are oversized 10 or 8 or whatever should wear Spanx. It shouldn't be. We had a saying when I grew up. It must be jelly because jam don't shake like that. I don't want to see all that shaking.
See, and I feel differently. I
you grew up in a different life.
I know, you're right. But I think it's liberal. I think women should wear whatever the heck they want to wear and walk out the door. What you should wear is confidence. Mm-hmm. It's not. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So what about women, when you see women in their hair rollers walking around? Do you think that's...
No, I don't judge that, because here's okay. the thing. I always tell women, you should wear what you want to wear, but you need to be prepared for the consequences of being judged.
Okay,
you
that's
have
good.
To walk yeah. out the door feeling... If you want to walk out the door in curlers because you're saving your style for later, or you don't have time, then do it. Do you, and do it with confidence, and mm-hmm. don't worry about what other people say. Mm-hmm. So I think it's liberating not to have to wear Spanx or girdle or mm-hmm. heels or gloves. And I say, though, be prepared to be judged by yeah. how you show up. That's my mm-hmm. only point.
The rollers are great if you have a hat or a scarf
yes.
or something on.
Yes.
I don't want to see the pink rollers.
Well, then they would say, well, look away. All right. I didn't leave the house to impress you, so I got stuff to do.
That's why it's a different era that I grew up in.
No, I think a lot of people probably...
That's the way I feel, mm-hmm. and I don't think I'll ever
And
change.
I think it's valid. Yeah. I think a lot of people feel the way you do. In fact, I may be in the minority. I don't know, because a lot of people have feelings about how people should show up and what they should wear and judge it.
Yeah.
I just think that there is something awfully freeing about being who you want to be, and judges be damned.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a lot of corporate experience. Do you feel that same attitude prevails?
No, that's okay. a different story.
Okay,
no.
So you
because
think...
the consequences of being judged in a corporate setting are much more severe mm-hmm. than me leaving the house mm-hmm. and going to the grocery mm-hmm. store. So while I wouldn't go out of the house in rollers, mm-hmm. I think that the person should be able to, but you showing up at work in whatever right. the equivalent of rollers is, mm-hmm. that's not going to work.
Something that's come up on other shows when I've talked to women about this, going to a school where I had to wear a uniform, I think I learned a lot about, and also obviously from you guys, how to put myself together. And so that transition into a work environment wasn't difficult for me mm-hmm. at all. I kind of knew how mm-hmm. to be appropriate and present myself at work. A lot of people don't know. And mm-hmm. it's kind of surprising what I see some people wearing, mm-hmm. usually younger people, mm-hmm. to work. Do you think that by that attitude of do whatever you want in your free time, if there's never an expectation that you have to look put together, then maybe those same women won't ever know how to do it
the
for
rules
work.
Change when you get to a court, though, yeah. all the yeah. rules, it's hard stop, wait a minute, you are walking through the door of judgment.
Yeah,
you're walking through the judgment on every single thing you do.
Yeah.
And so no, you can't show up with rollers, and you can't show up with, as grandma said, you know, your butt hanging out or your mm-hmm. breast exposed, that because what people only see that. They don't see what's in your mind or your
right.
brain. They can, and you may be the smartest thing to mm-hmm. come out of, you know, walk through the doors of that company, but they're never ever going to see it because it's a saying, what you have, what you look like speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying.
Yep.
I tell you what, when I was in junior high, high school, and college, we had what was called home economics.
Yes. Oh,
I did not have home ec.
You were taught how to dress for certain occasions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. What to wear. I learned how to make a skirt.
Oh, wow.
You know, cut it out with a band around it, the length of the skirt, all of that.
You learned how to sew and fix things.
I don't think it's taught now.
It's,
nobody talks about dress and what's adequate and what's not. And the strangest thing, in my mind, I still think about children clothes, young people clothes, middle-aged people clothes, and older people. Although I'm just a young teenager, and I don't think for myself I wear what a teenager wears. In fact, someone said to me, if I thought it was an insult, because when I went someplace not so long ago, somebody said, "Oh, there's Jean," and they said, "You're dressed like a teenager." And I say, "I am a senior teenager. I am
you
a senior teenager.
Good. You always look good, Mom."
Yeah,
you
always look great.
But I don't look at clothes now for an age. If I like it,
right.
And I feel, I'll tell you what your mother said to me, do not wear anything showing your knees anymore. So I'm trying to wear dresses now, just a little below my knee, if I can find it.
That's a chic length. So we all are like professional marathon shoppers. I think the three of us could probably spend like 48 hours straight, maybe break for Emmy at one point shopping. And we all have an appreciation for style and fashion, and I think I had no choice but to become this because of who you guys are. Mm-hmm. How much of it do you think is genetic in the DeVard women, and how much of it do you think is conditioning? And
it's all genetic.
Okay. So it was your mom?
Yes.
Okay.
My mother was a shopaholic for her children.
Okay.
Not for herself.
Okay.
For her children.
Interesting.
And each one of us, in fact, each one of us had categories when we came along, best dressed, smartest, so forth and so on. All of her daughters were voted best dressed.
Well, they should have been voted smartest too, because you all
I know. However, it was the fashion the eye that she had, she gave it to us. Mm-hmm. And I always looked, even now when I'm shopping with other women, and they'll say, "I didn't see that." I walk in and I can see my eyes just jump
right
to something that's completely different and odd and so forth and so on. And I can do that.
Yeah, it's
and
a real
I
skill.
Got that from shopping with my mom.
Huh.
I don't think it's genetic. I think if I was raised by a librarian, I'd be into books. I think it's the experience.
I think it's genetic.
It's habit. I mean, I went shopping with my mom. You went shopping with us. So, you know, that's what you do. But
yeah.
I don't think I was born with a shopping gene, but I know some people feel that women are born with that shopping
gene. Well, I have a badge that I wear on my jeans every day, say born to shop.
Yeah.
I don't know anything else to do.
I think an appreciation for style is something that is handed down to you. Some girls don't grow up understanding that style is something that should be expressed, that should be invested in, and I certainly see it among my friends. Why do you think it's so important for women, or for you individually, to have a sense of style?
Well, for me, it's my personality. Mm-hmm. I think it shows my personality. I think that style, and I was thinking when I was listening to your grandmother, to me, it gets better every generation. I love your sense of style, Brooke. I love your edits and how you show up, and I'm comfortable with what I wear, and grandma, and I will, you know, grandma will show me something. I'll be like, I'm not so sure. And I can show it to her and she can give me, you know, feedback. But I think as I look down, it gets better. But I think that style is a function. You show who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I marvel at, one of the things that I enjoy is complimenting a woman. You look good.
Yes.
If I know her or not.
Yes.
You look good. Your hair looks good.
Yep.
That outfit looks good.
Yep. Yes.
That dress looks good. Yep. Those shoes look good. And it happens to grandma all the time. She gets stops like a rock star.
Yeah.
So I give that. But I think for me, I can only be authentic. I've always had to think about, you know, okay, so you have to go to this. How do you dress? it's just, it comes natural to mm-hmm, me. And mm-hmm. if it's stylish, okay, but it's just who I am.
Yep. So you see what you wear and the way you do, it's just an expression of your personality.
It really is. Yeah. It mm-hmm. really is. And that's what, and that's how, but when I look at people, I see their personality yes. through what they have on.
Absolutely. Yes.
If you just show up like right. looking right. like any old kind right. of way, I right. think, oh.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Oh, well, okay, this is an yeah. interesting creative yeah. person.
Right, and it happens to me all the time in New York City. I can see a woman who's incredibly stylish, and I just automatically
you
associate...
Gravitate.
Yeah, you know, you follow her for an extra
right.
block, and
yes.
you think, about,
Gosh, look at
you
her.
Think
wow.
about how interesting
yes.
her life must
yes.
be. And I do, to kind of, especially for hair, women with natural hair, I was just complimenting a woman at TSA on our mm-hmm. way over here. She had beautiful natural hair with these kind of like light brown highlights, and it just looked so pretty. And when I complimented her, I'm sure she was not having a great day at TSA the day before Thanksgiving, but you could tell she just kind of lit up and really
yeah.
appreciated the compliment.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm very impressed with your style, the
oh,
natural style,
thank you.
Brooke. It is absolutely gorgeous. And it's so many different styles. I mean, every time I see it, it's a different style.
Yes, yes.
You know, I grew up with natural hair, but braids.
Okay.
I had braids until maybe I was 14.
But your braids are what we used to call plaits.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like the braids, like the
African. Not like extensions,
you
know, not micro
plaits. Three plaits.
Yeah,
this is
where you parted your hair down
yeah.
the middle
yeah.
and
yeah.
you put
we,
it, plaited it.
We, it's like
yeah.
how I wear my hair to go to sleep, like
right.
a protective
yeah.
style.
Or the early pictures of you as a little girl
yes.
with those long
yes.
little plaits.
But I think that's
plaits.
So cute.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, you got a good model, you got a good brush, a spray bottle of water and some grease, and you did it.
Yeah, definitely agrees.
When was the whole Black is Beautiful movement? That was what, in the 60s?
Black is Beautiful.
It was 60s, and then
60s
it came around
came
for
me.
The Black Panther. Like,
oh,
when?
The Black Panthers were the 60s. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Black
and then the early part of the 70s. And, but
yeah.
then it's actually never died down. There's
mm-hmm.
always been an element of Black women that wore their hair
natural.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a new thing.
Yeah, it's not a new thing.
Right.
That, but it is new in terms of the numbers of young
mm-hmm.
women
yes.
that have embraced that. Like I said, mm-hmm. when in the 70s, when I was in late 70s, I wore my hair short and natural for all 4 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma has been wearing her hair short and natural. How many years now, Mom?
35 years.
There's always been mm-hmm. an element of that, but I love it now because it's not a style statement. It's again, it's like who you are
right.
and what you're comfortable.
Right.
We don't have to coerce our hair into something that it's not. I tried it, didn't work for me, but I love all the women that can hang
mm-hmm.
in there.
What was your line that made me laugh so hard when you were trying to grow your hair natural? And I was sending you all these videos on YouTube and stories about transitioning. And I was like, how's your transitioning period going? And what did you say?
I said, I'm transitioning to a perm.
I was dying of laughter. Yeah, I think understanding what works for you is really
yeah.
important. So I think... personally, for me, most of my best beauty advice has come from you, even if I didn't realize it at the time. And we certainly share tips. You put me onto the Dennis Gross pads, the Niels Yard Beauty. But you know,
right.
if you find something great, you usually tell me. Or growing up, if I wanted to do something, you would just say no, and that you'll understand why I'm telling you no later. I remember when I wanted to dye my hair, and you were like, "Just don't do it. You're going to damage your hair." And I'm so happy I didn't. What, growing up for you, Mom, what was the best kind of beauty advice that you got from Grandma?
Wow, that's a good question, Mom. Beauty advice. I don't know. Grandma was always so beautiful. I think that I didn't like Grandma never told me kind of what to do and not to do. I don't remember you telling me that, Mom. Do you?
I don't think so, because you didn't wear makeup. You didn't do it. You were like a tomboy looking.
Even for my hair, when I cut my hair, you were fine with that. You didn't say, oh my God, don't cut your hair.
No, it was fine.
I never wanted to dye it.
No.
Okay.
It was fine.
I remember you growing up telling me to wash my face at night as like mm-hmm. such a like
makeup
it was just like take your makeup off right. And now I do it instinctually mm-hmm. but I know girls that don't take their makeup off every night and I right. just can't no, even imagine it I, but well, once it's drilled into you you
the
just
one thing so the thing is that I remember about you was taking your makeup off at night because I would see you but also remember when you were getting your hair braided
not too tight and
oh
to
my
tell
God.
Them not to put
you,
tension
you had
on
a
my
heavy
scalp
hairline and I said if I'm gonna I always went with you
yep.
and I would hold the end of your hair when they were braiding. I said, that is too tight.
Mm-hmm.
You have to loosen it up. Mm-hmm. And they would kind of give me the side eye. I was like, I know we're going to fall out, but I'm not going to know you. And my child doesn't have a hairline. I won't be able to find you. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, thank you for saving my hairline. I really appreciate that. Looking back, are there any kind of fashion faux pas or beauty faux pas or pictures that you look back? I don't know if you ever had like a Jerry curl or is there
no,
anything that you ever
curl.
Yeah, I wouldn't think you would have. But is there anything that you look back at and think, what was I thinking in that time?
No, because I mean, I look at it now. It's interesting. You look at something with, you know, new millennial eyes, like this, a lot of the frosted eyeshadow and all the contouring and, you know, all the frosted lip gloss. And I remember I learned how to put lashes on when I was a teenager. So weeks where I went with just lashes. I wore strip lashes every day. So I went through my period of that. But it was all stylish for that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever I did was stylish for that time. And I don't really look back at any pic. No one could kind of blackmail me with any pictures because it was the thing at that time. I don't know about you, Mom.
I never wore makeup. I never did. I tried with an eyebrow pencil. I never did my eyes,
eyeliner?
I never did the...
She does a picture of you where, you're right, your eyebrows and just lipstick, right? It was very light.
Yeah. Is that the same Dorothy Dandridge picture that we're thinking of?
No, mine is a different picture that I have of
mine. I didn't really wear makeup.
Okay.
But you always have beautiful skin even now.
Yeah, I didn't wear makeup. My mother taught us not to wear makeup. And I used what was called...
And what was that? Was it not to take
She
over
said, paper? Your skin will be pretty if you don't drown it out with foundation makeup.
Huh.
And at that time, when I grew up, you did not have different textures and different colors.
Oh, right, that's right.
So
foundation
it was that red,
didn't match
ugly-looking makeup.
That's
come
right.
A long
I
way.
Did not
that's
wear
right.
makeup.
That's right.
Yeah.
My mother bought something that was called, and I can remember it, black and white vanishing cream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we put on our face.
What was it?
Was it a
cream? It was a cream. It was a vanishing cream.
Vanishing for?
For makeup.
Blemishes.
I guess it was a moisturizer or something. It was called vanishing cream.
Sounds kind of like a beauty BB cream, right? Like
BB cream, yeah.
And I put that on my face. And that was it. And did not wear lipstick.
Mm, no mascara.
No, nothing. Nothing. Huh. Nothing. And I have to think about it now to put mascara on and eyeliner and all that kind of stuff.
You
I have
know,
to
maybe
do that
that's,
now.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I have to think about it if I do it because I just don't wear makeup.
Maybe
the
that's why your
thing
skin is
I,
so good now.
The other thing I can remember is that on my dress I had that black and white vanishing cream and I had, I can't think of the name of the Vaseline. It's a name for Vaseline.
Is it the Jolene maybe?
No, I can't think of it back in my day, but it was pure Vaseline that I put all over my skin, my legs and everything.
Yeah.
And Jergens lotion.
Yeah.
That was my that was my makeup.
Yes. I remember staying with
makeup.
You in Atlanta and Alexander and I had to put lotion after we got out of the shower.
Yeah.
It was like
That's
lotion,
right.
lotion everywhere.
Yeah.
So what do I have to look forward to at 27 now in terms of beauty and aging.
Oh my God, look at your grandmother. I mean, she's 83 years old. Yes. She doesn't have a wrinkle.
I know.
I mean, Botox, rest, what are you talking about? She doesn't have a wrinkle. Her skin is flawless.
But now I'm thinking it may be because she didn't put a bunch of stuff on her face growing up.
You didn't put a lot of stuff on. You didn't wear a lot of makeup.
I don't know. I think it's... Now, this is what I think is genetic.
Yes,
you inherit
it is. Yeah.
Your skin, hair, nail genes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of got the lottery on that, looking at your, you know, at your grandmother.
One of the things that you guys both do that I have yet to kind of reach this point in my personal style, but you guys both have signature hairstyles, right? Your hair, it kind of stays your hair.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change dramatically.
mine should, because I hate a hairstyle that never changes.
Well,
it's always short.
It's always,
a very different version of on my face, away from my face.
Yeah.
But,
I feel like I look forward to, I think I'm still at the point where I want to experiment and try different things. And
I did as a young woman.
Yes. Yeah.
As a young woman. You'll see pictures, my hair is different.
Yeah, that's right. Your hair is very different. I know.
Yeah.
Very different styles.
Yeah.
You're young. You wear it any way, whatever way you want to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So in terms of kind of getting older, how has your relationship with your self-image changed? Do you feel more confident than you did in your 20s? Do you?
I am extremely confident, and I have been confident since I would say 37, 38.
Interesting.
I have been extremely confident. I think I was 37 when I earned a PhD from the University of Connecticut. And one of the things I had a professor to tell me is that if someone asks you a question and you don't know, say, I'm not sure, but I'll get back to you.
Mm.
I've always remembered that. So I am extremely positive about myself, the way I look, the way I act, and everything. I have no regrets. I tried to think back, what do I regret in my life? And I said, absolutely nothing. Even though I had a husband that was horrible, my first husband, my children's father. But then I look at my children.
Mm-hmm.
I have beautiful, smart, intelligent,
aww,
loving children.
Aww.
So I thank him for that.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what happens in life, it might seem like it's the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the end.
Mm-hmm.
You look for the best in what it is, the good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the good out of that marriage was my two children.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you point to your kind of late 30s being the point where you feel like you, because I've heard, and I haven't reached my 30s yet, but I've heard that your 30s does become this very defining period in your life, and that people kind of put a lot of attention on your 20s because you're young, but that's actually not when you have the best relationship with yourself. Do you find that to be true, Mom?
I have found every stage that I was at to be the best. I really, it's kind of like people say, oh, your kids are so great when they're little. Oh, wait till they're, you know, they're toddlers, and then wait till they're teenagers. You know, like Grandma, I have two beautiful, you and Alexander are the joy of your father and I's life, and I've enjoyed every stage, and I've enjoyed every stage of my growing older. You know, I don't, I look in the mirror, and I love what I see. Now, it's not always fabulous, but I'm comfortable. I walk out of the house without makeup, I'm good. I'm okay.
Right, right.
You know, I don't feel that I have to do anything other than what I want to do.
So going from, you know, putting on false lashes to walk out of the house to now being able to walk out without makeup, were you in your, that time
period?
But
her wardrobe dictates elegance.
Yes,
so
right.
Whatever she walks out in,
she
is very elegantly dressed.
Right.
So that's...
I'm
telling you, Jerry.
You need to see me, Mom.
No, I know.
No,
I have seen you.
I've never seen you.
I have seen
I've
you.
Never seen you look
and
not
I
elegant.
Said...
Even in jeans.
I said, oh, that's a beautiful dress. Well, that's a Prada.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I would have a special occasion to wear the Prada dress. To go to the grocery store.
The only thing I think that you have to leave the house with, and I'm going to sound like a old grandma, is sunscreen. You got
to
put on sunscreen.
Yeah,
you just have to. And I was late. I was probably in my late 30s before I realized the value of sunscreen on my dermatitis. Because I thought, melanin, I've got that in spades. I don't need it. And my dermatologist said, the sun is not your friend. And,
yeah,
you know, so, I think that sun, that's the thing that I'm religious about. But, mm-hmm. I, you know, that's the beauty of being a woman. I enjoy dressing up.
Right.
I love it.
Right, mm-hmm. right. It's not something you have to do. It's something that
yeah,
you
it's something
get
I
to
do.
Do.
When I don't feel that I have to put on a face to face the world. I put it on when and if I want to.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. In terms of getting older, what is something that you guys have gone through that no one kind of told you about or prepares you for, or you wish you had been better prepared for?
I cannot think of anything. The one thing with in my 80s now, and with other women that are in their 80s and early 90s, they say getting old is beautiful, but it's pure hell.
What makes it pure hell?
Because you have pains every other day.
Mm.
I mean, there's always something. In fact, I sent my niece to pick up a prescription for me, and the woman gave her another prescription. And I had to laugh. I said, oh, all my prescriptions are due. They always do. You go there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's you have to know that everything gets old.
Mm-hmm.
And everything breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's breaking down with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thankful that I'm not really broken down.
No,
not really broken down.
No.
That I'm still able to do for myself. I'm still able to think. I'm still able. I can't wait until tomorrow morning because between 10 and 12, I've got to go shopping because I think I have a 1 o'clock appointment. So I have 2 hours to get up and try to shop before I meet you guys to go for something else. But I am enjoying aging. I really am. I'm truly blessed to have been 80 years old before I really had a catastrophe, so to speak, having cancer, but I'm blessed. And when I looked at young women in chemotherapy that had children and had to work and all of that, tears came to my eyes. And I thank God that I didn't have, and as a single mother, to have cancer and having to work and take care of two children, it would have been a disaster. So I'm blessed, and I thank God every day for that.
What about you, Mom? Any?
You know, and well, Grandma says growing old is beautiful. I don't agree with that. I mean, every day I look in the mirror, I was like, wait a minute.
But you
did
look amazing.
Yeah, okay, but when did my knees drop? Wait a minute, what? Or you catch a glimpse of something. You walk by, you're like, wait a minute, what is
like
that?
Like my butt has dropped down to my legs and thighs.
They got injections for that, Mom. You can.
I don't want to do that.
Could you imagine if
Grandma...
I don't want to
do that. No. But I think that you have to, you just have to... not try and fight it. That's the
you
thing.
Can't
I,
fight
and
it.
You know, living, you see people that try and fight it, but I think you should work with it.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
you should work with it. Don't fight it, but work with it. And
right.
you know, it's not beautiful. I don't like the process of aging, but I certainly it beats the alternative.
That's
well, true. you will like it as you age. I could say anything I want to say, and people say, oh, geez, I'll just walk away from it. You can say anything you want to say. You can do what you want to do.
Well, but how about in terms of what Brooke is talking about, in terms of beauty and how you look and your body and your,
well,
all of that?
Well, you have to realize what is becoming to you. What looks good on you.
Yeah, well, you could probably say
and
that about any age, right?
No. When you're aging... you've got to...
Oh, right. Age appropriate. No, that's true.
Yeah. You've got
that's
to,
true. Right.
You've got to feel good
right.
about how you look at this particular age.
No, you're right. You're right. But gravity does not your
friend. Oh, gravity is not your friend.
Gravity.
It'll never be your friend.
Gravity
in
just takes
in
over.
Fact, I have to laugh because...
just want to lift everything up 40 degrees.
I have a girlfriend, 75, and she called me crying because she said, Jeannie, tell me the truth. Am I looking old? I said, how old are you? She said, 75. I said, think about what you asked me. Think about what you asked me. You look 75.
I must say, and Brooke, you know, all of my girlfriends, they look amazing.
They do.
I try not to stand next to any of them.
You guys are all drinking blood.
I don't know. And they're all naturally beautiful. They dress appropriately. They have amazing style and beauty and grace. And I don't know, maybe it's like contagious, that, but they all look just amazing.
That's true.
I think one thing that I'm really looking forward to is putting my comfort first. Like, I think it's so nice, especially you, Grandma, you'll wear beautiful flats and a nice, beautiful sweater with a colorful scarf. And you look great, but you also look very comfortable. And I feel like, you know, being recently married, when I go out with Umut, I want to look sexy and I want to have heels and a nice dress.
I did that too. They're called spike heels. Now they call them stilettos.
Stilettos.
I went through spike heels and short dresses and all that stuff.
And I like it, and I understand that this is a time when, you know, if you've got it, flaunt it. But I do look forward to that being behind me.
Well, don't look forward to it.
No.
Don't
really?
No.
Embrace
the sexy bondage, whatever dress. Because you have to enjoy every phase of your fashion style and evolution life. You can't, don't look forward. It's like people say, oh, wait until the kids talk. I enjoyed every, so you have to enjoy the phase that you're
in now.
And because there'll come a time when you can't wear stilettos.
When you can't wear a mini skirt.
When you can't.
Even though you want to wear it and look sexy, you can't do it.
Enjoy. I'm going to try it. I'll keep that in mind. We're going to Miami on Saturday night, so.
Oh, well, you got to bring the sexy to Miami.
I'll take the heels.
Definitely.
Come on. Yeah. Definitely.
All right. This is my last question I ask everyone who comes on my show. When do each of you feel most beautiful?
I think when I'm out with your father, and he turns to me and gives me that look, like, and your father, he does this look. He looks at me, goes, and it's like, he says, you look good. And I was like, well, thank you. That's when I feel like, okay. So, because we've been together, 33 years? And the fact that he still sees something in me that sparks him, that makes him smile and gives him that extra I like that.
And is there anything particular that you wear that you know that Dad likes, or is it just...
Well, Dad, your father, Brooke, I don't know if I... Your father, I am so much more conservative than your father. I'll be like, is this too low cut? No, wear that.
Oh, yeah.
Are these heels too... No, wear that. Is this too high cut? No, wear that. Wear that. I'm like, okay, so no, it's like, I'm amazed at how... And your father's a pretty conservative person.
Yeah,
But I just tell him that he married his trophy wife. So, you know, his first wife was his trophy wife, and he just wants
his first and only wife.
First and only wife, yeah, so far. Let's find some wood. Who knows?
What about you, Grandma?
I don't know. I think I feel my best when I'm at home. I have a room in my house that I really, really love. It's a veranda.
The sunroom with all the plants.
I love
that. Yeah.
And when I have time to really relax and I'm just in there alone, I feel so good and so comfortable and so at ease. And when we were looking to buy, that was the one thing that pushed me to buy that particular house, that room. I love it.
Yeah.
And I feel so good in that room. And during my healing days, I spent most of the time in that
room. That room.
Yes.
I think that's so important for women to have a space of their own. I think about your beautiful walk-in closet here, Mom, with your vanity and all of your fragrance. And you've always collected...
perfume bottles.
Yeah, you've always collected perfume bottles. But I think it's so important to have, even if it's, you know, a small corner in your dormitory room at school where you do... I feel like it's very important to create a space for yourself to feel your best.
And where you can touch and see the things that are precious to you.
Yeah.
Well, in that room... I have pictures of my mother, father, my children. I have art pieces that your mother bought for me. It's just so many things in that room. You know, macrame that my son
The macrame,
made
for
me. I look at that. So in that room, everything in there have real meaning to me. And I think that's what it is I really love about that room. And pictures with celebrities and pictures with different
humble brag. Just pictures of celebrities.
Bragging, 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 bragging.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming to talk to me on the show.
Well,
and
thank you, Brooke. We're thank so proud of you. Me. And this has been fun. I don't know if this is we've ever done this before.
We've never done this before.
I know.
Before.
I know. I may want to interview you guys again.
All right.
That sounds good. I'll be ready.
Aren't they the best? Thank you guys for listening. If it's been a while, call your mom, call your grandma. Even if it hasn't been a while, give them a call. Tell them you love them. You are who you are because of them.
Get her eyes from. She get it from her mama. From where she get her thighs from. She get it from her mama. Where she learn how to cook from. She get it from her mama. From where she get the looks from. She get it from her mama. From where she get that ass from. She get it from her mama. From where she get her class from. She get it from her mama. From where she get that chest from. She get it from her mama. Where she learn how to dress from. She get it from her mama. Where does she get her sense from. She get it from her mama. Where does she get her income. She get it from her mama. Where she get the dog from. She get it from her mama. Nigga, where she get the dog from.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.